Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Jenkins Church. I'm glad everyone is here this morning. Right now we're going to recognize our first-time visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors in the section to my left this morning? Welcome, Ashton. Anyone else first-time visitors in this section? Yes, sir. Glad you're here this morning. Any other first-time visitors in this side? Okay. Any first-time visitors in the middle section here? Yes. Pleasure to have you here this morning.
My notice they may have lived here before we came, York Road.
Yeah, possibility. Any other first-time visitors in the middle section this morning? All right. Any first-time visitors in the section to my right? All right. Well, all of you that are here for the first time, welcome. We're glad you're here. At this time, we're going to go to our announcements. There's a lot of them printed in the insert in your bulletin. A lot of things going on. Do we have any updates, any additions to announcements, anything that needs to be brought to our attention this morning?
General Assembly of the Commonwealth Presbyterian Church. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? They are coming. General Assembly 2005 will meet in Franklin, Tennessee this year. June the 26th through maybe July the 1st, unless they get approved on June the 30th. If they get approved, they won't be back. We, from the Presbytery, of which we're one of 39 churches, I think it is, are responsible for providing a choir. Sam is going to direct the choir, and he's gone today, but we're giving him the mouth. But next Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Columbia First Cumberland Presbyterian Church will be a choir practice of representatives. And I guess some of our choir members are going. They're already gone. They went there today, I guess. Okay, y'all didn't get the word. Okay, 10 o'clock next Saturday morning. 10 o'clock next Saturday morning, Columbia, Cumberland Presbyterian Church, at the corner of 412 and 31. Highway 31 and 412. Right there, up behind the Waffle House, I think, is the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. They'll meet there at 10 o'clock to rehearse some music for some of the worship services, and I'm not sure which one, at General Assembly. We'll be here at the Franklin Marriott, Pooh's Prince. Okay, you're encouraged, invited, encouraged, if you want to be a part of that. Also, during that week, Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church is responsible for manning or having people at a hospitality table. And a hospitality person, as I understand it, in a limited form, is to say, somebody says, where's the bathroom? You need to know that, point that away. Where's the place to eat besides the hotel, restaurant? And we hope to have a map with some places on it and how to get there, okay? And how can I get to Jenkins Church? Monday night they're coming to Jenkins Church. So I need to have a map that you can hand them and say, go down here and here and here and get to Jenkins Church. Okay. So we need people at that hospitality table. I have a big clipboard here this week and next week. Hopefully it'll all be filled this week. We can have names on here, people that will be present to be hospitable hosts. Okay? So I'll start this right here and give Mary Beth the first choice of putting her name on the blank there, okay? Hopefully that will get around everywhere and everybody wants to. And this will retire people would be really great to be there, dressed in your best, or maybe casual. And maybe you're very casual, and you can just welcome these people from California, from South America, from Japan, from Hong Kong, from Liberia. We'll have a career delegation there from the Atlanta area, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You'll get to meet many people. Wednesday night, we hope to have over 1,000 people present for the worship service. We have a communion service. They'll be sponsored and supported by or planned by the Board of Missions, and it'll be a multicultural service. So that is promising, in my mind at least, to be a really high point of the General Assembly. Wednesday will be committee work. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody will be out doing committee work. Thursday and Friday will be a lot of mattering back and forth and arguing and questioning. And you'll see the church in action. It is at its worst, but maybe it's the best at General Assembly. So, we'd like you to be there, those who can be there to be hospitality people. I happen to have the distinction, good or bad, of being the Presbyterian pastor host. So I just have to be there that week, Sunday afternoon, Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and possibly Friday. Some of you received a special invitation to come and celebrate your 50 years of service in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Did you get one? I heard it a bunch of names. I'm just supposed to get one. Anyhow, we publicized it here. If you'd like to go to that supper on Sunday night, and then a breakfast on Monday morning, I think it's charging $35 to come to celebrate your 50 years of service. Susan and I will be going to this church. I've given 50 years as a member, but not as a servant or as a worker. But and Susan certainly hasn't, but she's going with it. The people that serve 50 years need some people to come and clap for them and urge them on for at least 25 more years of service. Kind of like that couple we learned about this week. 80 years they've been married. So some people have served the church 75 to 80 years. The couple was, one of them was 105, right? Been married for a long time. Anyhow, so I want to call that here. Also, I want to talk about Bible school. Bible school, do we have a Bible school director?
Not here.
You
want to
say
something? Sure. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. The children ages 4 through noon, 5th grade. If you haven't registered, pre-registered that time, show up tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. We're going to do a Serengeti trip.
Serengeti. That's a real place.
That's right. It's a place in Africa. We're going to have stories, games, crafts. The usual
Any other announcements this morning that need to be brought to our attention? Anything else? If not, I'd ask you to read over those. There's a lot of things going on in the church. That's the best place to keep up to date on what's going on. At this time, we're going to go to our prayer concerns this morning. We have a lot of folks on the prayer list. Do we have any additions, updates, anyone needs to be taken off, prayers of praise, concern? Yes, Gary.
Brad, I'd like to thank everybody for your prayers.
It's glad to have you back. We are glad to see you, definitely. Anyone else this morning? Any other prayers of praise or concern? If not, I would ask you to pray for these on the list, those that have been added this morning. Pray for them as often as you possibly can, please. If you would, we're going to prepare ourselves for worship with a moment of silence. If you'd please bow your heads, please. Amen. It's printed in the left-hand side of your bulletin. That is responsive, if you would join along with me. You servants of God, praise God's name. Let us in Christ give God the glory.
morning. Y'all please stand and turn to 106, I think. Is that right? 106.
Praise to you, and we come making that attempt this morning. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, but greater than that, we acknowledge you for who you are. Lord, you're our God, and we're your people. Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways. You are the great blesser. You are the Redeemer, the Savior, the Messiah, the Promised One, the Christ, the Son of the living God. God in the flesh. Lord, as we come acknowledging who you are, acknowledging your presence here in our midst, we thank you. We thank you for caring enough to send your Son Jesus to pay the penalty of our sin that we might have fellowship with you. Thank you that you took away that sin that would separate us from you. Lord God, we pray for each individual gathered here today. Lord, speak to them, but also let each of us speak to you with our words, our thoughts, our actions. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
If you would join me in unison now for our statement of faith, it's the Apostles' Creed, number 716 in the back of your hymnal, or it's on the wall. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From this He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 539. Oh, that will be glory.
Thank you.
supposed to sing Wade in the Water, but our waiters aren't very big today. We have very few waiters. And so what I'm going to do, and I'd like for y'all just to sing along with me, please, everyone, is one of the songs that is a communion song. It's called In Remembrance, and it's on page 322 in the hymnal. And we have never rehearsed this, so we'll all be doing this together. And y'all please sing with me. And we won't take the optional ending, just so y'all want, when you're singing along, we will not take it.
Children's time this morning. If you would like to come on down, boys and girls, with Miss Andrea, and if you'll stay in the sanctuary, there's no children's church because we're having communion today.
But yesterday, Larry and I were on our way to a wedding, and we were talking about different movies we used to watch when the kids were little, and one of the movies that was our favorite was Bambi. And how many of you ever watched Bambi? Anybody ever watched the movie Bambi? Okay, you know Thumper? Thumper's in there, you know the little rabbit? And Thumper says in there, and I can't say exactly like Thumper said it, but Thumper says, my mama always says, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. Well, I love that, because that's such a good thing to remember. But if you look in the Bible, you know, I told you in the Bible, there's all these instructions about how we need to live and how, you know, anything you got questions about, he's thinking. And so in Ephesians 4:29, it says, say only what is good and helpful and what will give a blessing. Now, let's just think about that. If we did that each and every day, and when we started to say something that was really nice to somebody, or, you know, kind of hateful or something, and we said, oh, and we didn't like something, we said, don't play nothing at all, but we can't say something nice. But if every time we said something, we said only what was what? Good and helpful. Say only what is good and helpful, and what will give a what? Blessing. You remember when Brother Bennett used to have us pass the blessing? You know, I miss that. And that, we need to do that, especially today on Communion Sunday. Let's be sure we pass the blessing. And what is the blessing? What is the blessing that we're passing? Jesus Christ, who did he die for? Me? He died for us. Can you point yourself? That's all of us, right? Every one of us. And what a blessing. But he didn't just die, did he? What did he do? Does he live today? Jesus lives today. And so we serve a risen Savior. And do we need to be happy? And are we blessed? Yes, we are. So what are we going to say? We're going to say what? Good and helpful and only what will give a blessing.
We express our thanks to God this morning with the presentation of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Our offertory sentence this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If the ushers would please come forward.
pray. Dear loving, gracious Father, we thank you for another beautiful day, Father. Father, we thank you for this church, the ability for us to gather in your name, Father. Father, we thank you for answering the prayers for your faithful servant, Gary, Father, and bringing him back to us. Father, we ask you for continuing healing there. Father, we know that he is in your hands and everyone trusts you with Gary. Father, we ask you bless these tithes and offerings today. Father, we ask that you guide the use to further your glory on this world, Father. We come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Christians in Corinth concerning the Lord's Supper. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, verse 23 and following. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." There's a song, "Come, Celebrate Jesus." That song invites people to the table, the Lord's table. The song that Julie led us in, number 322, is also an invitation. So I'd like to read this first stanza of that song. "In remembrance of me, eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me, pray for the time when God's own will is done. In remembrance of me. Come, celebrate in remembrance of him. If Dickie, Diane, John Wagner, Jamie Gross, and Paul Campbell will assist. All who trust in Jesus, join us as we celebrate. Lord Jesus, bless this bread. Through it, nourish us spiritually. Through it, call to our remembrance your great sacrifice through Jesus, as his body was broken for us. Amen. Please eat, remembering his death for you. And likewise, serve your neighbor. The cup, the fruit of the vine, representing the blood of Jesus. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving Jesus to die for us. We thank you that he shed his blood to wash away our sins. Lord, we come now thanking you that death could not hold him, that he rose from the grave and lives forevermore. Thank you for his presence among us. And let it be so vivid that we could not fail to recognize as we drink this fruit of the vine. Remembering Jesus, please drink. And likewise, serve him. Ed, would you assist? Please serve the people. People of God, eat and drink, remembering Christ's death for you. O Lord our God, thank you for the time again to remember how much you love us and the salvation that you provide us through Jesus. In His name.
Brother Larry's message this morning is called Seeds and Soils. And as we prepare to read the scripture, let's think about what kind of seeds we are and what kind of soil that we're planted in. As we read from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23, and God's parable of the seed and the soil. It's printed in your bulletin, and you can follow along in your Bible if you'd like. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. The other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, the other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what it was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more and will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have their eyes closed. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen to then what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, choke it and make it unfruitful, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what it was sown. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise
be to God.
We need to pray this week for seed to be sown and souls that would receive the seed, as we have senior high camp for Columbia Presbytery. We have three workers in camp. They're on their way now, or they went yesterday, and one camper from this church, but they are prepared for 60 to 80 campers. We kind of hope to know, but we hardly ever know. We also need to pray for good seed to be sown and good soil to receive the seed this week through Bible school. And a great opportunity. I think I wrote an article maybe last month in the newsletter advocating the virtues, the good aspects of Bible school. also ask you to pray for those two Christian education opportunities. And this parable right here fits. Also, there's another prayer concern that we failed to mention is Jessica Moot. Jessica Camus has a I think it's a broken back, but it's a fracture, compound fracture of some portion of her back. You know the exact words, Julie, you may have heard this. And they have to put her in a brace. She's having to wear a brace all summer long. And that's frustrating for a 12-year-old, 13-year-old? And can you imagine when you were that wearing a back brace all summer? And it's not a broken back, but it's a fracture. But that's what it amounts to, wearing the brace like that. Let's think about the sores. But let's think about what the method that Jesus used and what he was doing with the sower. It was a parable. What's a parable? Well, one definition is a story. A story. It might be in prose or it might be in verse. But a story that illustrates a point. In this case, a story that illustrates a religious point or gives a religious message. A moral. It might be a moral. Good. What's the moral to that story? That's a parable. A lot of parables that we grew up with, like even some of the fables. Aesop's fables. Also, it could just be a story that expresses a philosophical idea. Jesus taught in parables, and in one place, it says that to this particular people, he only taught them in parables. We know also, though, that he taught other people in other ways, by example and by direct conversation with them. But at one point in his life, to one group of people at least, he only taught in parables. In the Bible, we have recorded approximately 40 parables that Jesus used to get his message to his people. Some of them might just be one-line parables. And some listings of the parables might leave these out. This lesson, as we said, is a parable. And there are three parts to this lesson. There's the parable itself. There are the words of the portion of the lesson, of the words that people who could not and would not understand the parable. And then there was an explanation of the parable. So this parable, we're having the parable and an explanation, to me it seems would be easy to understand. Or I think I understand it. And it was easy to do it. Jesus explained it. Some parables may be more difficult to understand. But at least this one, Jesus went ahead to explain it. A sower is sowing seed. The seed falls on four different kinds of ground. There's the hard-packed dirt of a path, a well-worn, smooth, hard-packed path. There is the rocky ground, which if you live in this area of Middle Tennessee at least, you know firsthand what that's about. There is the thorny ground, and I can show you some thorny ground right here in this area also. So we have opportunity, if we desire to learn all about thorny ground. I remember Mr. Sharpton and I trying to cut some thorn bushes. And the problem is, the thorn bushes almost did us in. And Mr. Sharpton, every time one of these thorn bushes punctures him, it doesn't just puncture, it makes for a problem, doesn't it? And he had to deal with that. So we had to back off from the thorn bushes. We got them down, we think, though. We started mowing them down. So there's the hard-packed dirt, the rocky ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. The good ground. We, or at least some of us, may not know anything about planting seed. I might even ask, has anyone never, any of you never seen or participated in planting seed? That's a Bible school project, a Sunday school project to plant some seed and watch it grow. But it might be that somebody got to this point in life and have never observed planting seed. That's a possibility. We may have never done it ourselves, even if we have observed others. But probably everyone present, when Jesus was talking and giving this parable, had either participated in or at least observed the very experience that he was talking about. That was one of the blessings of Jesus' teaching. He spoke to situations that the people were familiar with and illustrated through those situations kingdom messages. This is a parable about the kingdom of God, one of seven or eight. About people in the kingdom or getting into the kingdom or getting out of the kingdom or staying out of the kingdom. And this was an agrarian society, an agricultural society he was in. And we don't so live today. It is possible that some have never observed or participated in sowing. But this group did. That's one of the problems of teaching the parables that Jesus taught in a non-agrarian society. Do we know what they're talking about? But let's review the story, and maybe we will know in case we happen to be so unblessed or so blessed, however you look at it, to not plant seed and watch them grow. Some seed that was planted fell on the path, the hard-packed ground. And that seed stayed there on top of the ground. It couldn't find its way to be covered up where it might germinate. A nice word for rot. Is that correct? Where it would die in the ground and then come alive again as it got to that little kernel right in the middle. So some fell on the path or the hard-packed ground and it stayed on top, and the birds came and ate the seed. Some seed fell on the rocky ground. There was not much dirt there. The roots cannot go deep because they cannot bore through the rocks. The sun beamed down. There was no moisture available to refresh the plant. So though the plant comes up and grows, it very soon dies. And then some seed fell on thorny ground. And there's probably some weeds there too. And the thorns and the weeds choked out the plant that was planted. Choked out these young, tender plants. But some seed fell on good ground. And these seed produced a crop. Either 100 or 60 or 30 times what had been planted. You hope for 100 fold, right? But sometimes it might be 30. In Jesus' explanation, Jesus says, the seed that he was talking about is the Word of God. And the Word of God is sown, but the evil one comes and snatches it away. See, the soil is the one who hears the Word of God, or the one on which the ones on which the Word of God falls. So the Word of God, be it through the reading of the Bible, be it through a Sunday school lesson, be it through a message through the radio or television or the internet, or be it from a pulpit, as the Word falls on the soil, some people are like hard-packed path soil. And the evil one, represented in the birds, come and snatch it away. The evil one, who is that? That's the devil. Or that's Satan. There are many other words in the Bible. A good research opportunity would be go to find different words or names for Satan or the devil in the Bible. And then there's the other type of soil, the rocky soil. Trouble and persecution comes along and competes with the Word of God. And trouble and persecution causes the shallow-rooted disciple to fold up. Rocky ground, the plant comes up, it blossoms, it may even bloom, but when the heat comes and the moisture is not there, it just kind of withers away, don't it? Wilts, dies. And some people, dealing with God's Word, they hear the Word and they blossom and they smile and they want to tell everybody they see about it. And they're so happy and they're so refreshed. But when the problems come, or the troubles come, or a little persecution comes, a rock in the road comes, they stumble, and they just refuse to get up. They fold up. You've seen them. You've dealt with them. Actually, this morning, a person gave me a testimony early this morning. And he basically was confessing how he had stumbled. How he had stumbled. And it was none of you. He had grown up for a little while, and then it was a confession. An early experience with the Lord, so glorious, so bubbling over, but they don't last through the tough times. And some never come back after that stumble. We pray that they will. And then the thorny ground, the thorns represent the worries of life. What worries do we have to deal with? We've got God's Word. We know what it says. We've depended on it. But the worries come in and choke out God's Word. The worries represented by the thorns, they choke out our relationship with God and choke out our relationship with Christ. And we get so wrapped up in the worries of life that we forget God. Or the troubles of life. Or the duties of life. One of the things that I guess I cringe most often at is when people use work. And say, well, I can't be a part of the work of the kingdom. I've got to earn a living. And Jesus has promised, if we put Him first, He will provide all of those things that we need for our living. Worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth are represented by the throne, the thorns. And in many cases, they choke out this relationship with God and with Christ, making our lives unfruitful. And then there's the good ground. Praise God, thank you Jesus for the good ground. It receives the seed and it produces much for the kingdom of God. The faithful ones, thank you. We're celebrating the 26th on Sunday night People who have given 20 or 50 years of faithful service to the kingdom of God through the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. A supper or gathering, testimonies, and others there to clap for them and urge them on to maybe 50 more years, or at least 10 or 20 more years. The faithful ones, those who keep at it, those who live through the tough times, those who keep plugging away when it's so difficult to plug away. They keep on keeping on and keep adding to the kingdom of God. They keep growing themselves in a relationship with God. Now about this passage, you see four kinds of soil. Three bad kinds of soil are unproductive kinds of soil, and one good kind of soil. And he commented and suggested that only about 1/4 of the seed that is sown will produce. Only about 1/4 of the seed that is sown will produce. You ever worry about, well, I tried and I witnessed to this one and I witnessed to this one and I witnessed to this one and nothing happened? But it may be that fourth one that you need to witness to before you get a productive product. You may be witnessing in bad soils or unproductive soils. You may be sharing the Word of God in unproductive lives. Maybe they're not ready. But he just suggested that only 1 out of 4 in our witnessing we can expect to produce. Maybe Jesus was talking out of his own experience. Maybe that's what he saw. That about 1 out of 4 would respond. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, in the first part of the chapter, we see people flocking to Jesus. And in this chapter, we see people flocking to Jesus. So many they had to get in a boat and row out a little bit and speak to them back up on the shore. But in John chapter 6, the people were flocking to Jesus. They were coming and wanting to join up with him, wanted to be his disciples, and they became his students. They were learning from him for a while. And then he began to talk about the demands that are required of one who follows him. And he began to talk about communion. We can interpret it about communion. You must eat my body and drink my blood. And people, they didn't understand. That was kind of a parable itself. They didn't understand. They thought he was talking about physically eating his body and his drinking his blood. Well, he wasn't talking about that. But he told you got to do like I teach you to do, and you got to follow me by example. You got to trust in me. And the people, they said, this is such a hard saying. We can't do this. We're not going to be a part of this. Out of here right now. Let us go. We're gone. And the Scripture says in John chapter 6 that many left and no longer followed him. So maybe he was speaking out of that or a similar experience when he gave this parable that 3 out of 4 can you really hope for them? Those who would not understand the parable. You know, Jesus comments about them. Verse 10 and following. Could it be that they were the ones who were not yet ready to receive the Word? They were not yet ready to receive the Word. They were not at the point in their life where they would listen. You know, people have to get to that certain point in their life. Or they're just like hard ground. Or a duck's back that you're trying to soak with water. It doesn't happen. Maybe these words were a comment on those represented in the hard-packed soil. the Word of God never really touched them. It was snatched away by the evil one. He prevented them from even hearing it. And then one more thought. And I didn't find any commentator that commented on this, so I didn't read that many. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus Himself is the Word. The first verse of John, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, I believe it is, says, and the Word, capital W, became flesh and dwelt among men, full of grace and glory. Referring to Jesus. Think about that. The parable that Jesus told is about the words that Jesus spoke. Cannot the same thing that He said about these words be said about Jesus Himself? Jesus comes. We share Jesus with many people. Some, He never gets a foothold in their life. Some, they take Him in and start with Him and they let it die, that relationship die. Others, other things come in and choke Jesus out of their life. And then some produce. And praise God and thank you, Jesus, for those who remain faithful. Question, if you're the dirt, which kind of dirt, ground, which kind of ground, sounds a little better, doesn't it, would we represent? As receivers of the seed, which kind do you represent? As soil. What kind of soil do you represent? And then the next thing, as sowers. As sowers of the seed. And that's what Christians are called on to do, right? I see that we must keep on sowing. We've just got to keep on sowing. We don't know where that the seed will fall, but we keep on sowing it. And some who were not ready yesterday may be ready to receive the Word of the Lord or the Lord Jesus Himself tomorrow. And we need to keep on sowing it and keep on sowing it. Let's turn to 497. 497. Near to the heart of God. That's a good place to be. That's where we grow. That's where we mature. That's where we reproduce. Even some 100-fold. But we may just produce 30-fold. 30 times what we invest. Or what's been invested in us. But that's okay. But we're called on to live near to the heart of God. Let's sing the first verse of this one and let this be our prayer, our commitment, our dedication to God. That we're going to live near to God, near to God, that we might be productive for His kingdom. Yes, this is a parable about building the kingdom of God, adding to the kingdom of God, adding to the citizenship of heaven. Was it 497? Please stand. Thank you.
Jesus, hold us close, that we might be productive for your kingdom, faithful to your word. Through Christ Jesus we pray.
Been out there a lot this week.
Well, I would have gone to court like I used. I've done what I did. Well, maybe that's okay.
Yeah, I just would say
maybe. Maybe have you can do something.
I guess so.
Anyway.
Handle them in the exact same spot where they're supposed to be.
Thank you.
Thank you.